Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus because you have appointed us for dominion. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you work in us. You work through us to manifest your kingdom in these last days in a way that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because we know that indeed the seas will rage. But your word says, when the enemy arises like a flood, your spirit raises up a standard against him. Now we thank you, Father, because we are that standard. We are the people you've anointed for that purpose. Now we stand bold and we stand assured that you have told us that you shall build a church, which church we are, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Now we thank you because we go out on a victorious note. We go out victorious. We go out dominant. We go out rich. We go out healthy. We go out connected in every way to everything that Jesus was. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, because we go out when we know our spiritual heritage, when we are not a religious church, but we are a spiritual church that knows where we belong. And now in the name of Jesus, we shall impose ourselves on this world in the name of Jesus, and the kingdom of God shall see dominion unlike any other time. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are those people. We are those people. Say, I am that person. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. First, show me that in another translation. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but as the wise, that is sensible, intelligent people. Keep it there. Now you see here, what he calls fools and what he calls wise is just how they use their time. Because obviously time is the one thing that all of us have the same of. The rich, the poor, the what, everybody has the same amount of time. Now he says that look then how you walk purposefully, worthily, accurately. Not as the unwise and as the witless, those who don't have wit, but as wise and sensible and intelligent people. Now go back to the New King James. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Go on. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Or because, first of all, they are evil, yes, but they are also few. And now you have to understand that the closer we get, the more so many things are happening that are pushing us faster and faster towards a realization of something very bad, but also very good. Praise the Lord. Now I know for a fact that in some of these things that we've been doing, if the Lord had not slowed down the enemy's truck, you know, we would have woken up and we find when it is too far down the road for us to do certain things. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll tell you this. I told you at the beginning of the year that the Lord told me to go to schools, and he specifically actually meant secondary schools. Now, I was a bit lax in doing it. Until something woke me up. Because there was a part of me which was feeling this end time thing perhaps is more for universities when people are beginning to understand so many things. Until I explained it to my 12-year-old son, and I saw how his life was completely changed and how he started seeing series on TVs and what differently and seeing the agendas and what, and he's 12 and he's in P7. So I was like, so secondary schools is not too. Anyhow, while I was there, being woken up, I found that a group of people under Jezebel. You know our Jezebel, our resident Jezebel. We are in. I've gone to secondary schools, and they have certain people teaching them about false prophets. And of course, you know whom they are talking about. Now, you realize that when somebody, let's say in a secondary school, has heard this message of the end time fast, there is a way it insulates them against any deception that comes thereafter. Because you've told them what the agenda is, what they want from them, what, you know, those things. And then you realize that somebody was telling me actually who was in. And the agenda of the enemy, how they, even homosexual, like they have gone into secondary schools. Now I was talking to somebody the other day who told me his school, Ntare. There was a woman who was happily married and was giving birth to children one after the other. The person told me she was permanently pregnant. But it was through her that the homosexuals were passing their money, and she was recruiting people. Now, the person you suspect the least is the one actually who is doing that thing. Because this is a woman who is married and she's churning out children like a rabbit. But on the other hand, she's actually recruiting people into. And now this is the agenda. So you see now when the Lord says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Because every time there is something you are supposed to do and you delay. Of course, the Lord sometimes, you know, like the chariots of Pharaoh, he takes off the wheels of the chariots of Pharaoh so that they don't catch up with what? The children of Israel. So he will do that for us sometimes. But some of these delays, we are going to have to answer for them on the day of judgment. I told you, you delayed. Praise the Lord. While you were delaying, homosexuals were busy doing their thing. Then these religious people under the flag of Jezebel were also doing their thing. So the schools you were supposed to go to, by the time you get there, you find a defense against you. And now what people would have received you, and you know the entire message breaks through to everybody because it's mostly knowledge-based, you understand? So you just get people, and I know how to shock them into thinking Jesus is coming back like next month. Now that wakes them up. Eh? Now I do that, not for people like here, because for you, you know, but when I go to new audiences, and I'm trying to show them, because you find them in a lax mode, talking about their grandchildren and what. So something, you have to tell them something to wake them up, to make them know that, no, we don't have that much time. Something has to happen. Now, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, every time you don't step out, the enemy's plot steps out before you. And when you get there, you find resistance, which you would have avoided if you had preempted them and gone there before them. Actually, now, they would come and now they are the ones who find resistance. Praise the Lord. Okay, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, here is how you redeem the time. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, there is how you redeem time. There is how you be wise. Because as long as you do not have a specific commission in a time like this, you are in the wrong place here at Watchman. Everybody here has got to know exactly what they are called to do and have a specific commission for that from the Lord. Amen? Something specific. Where you know I am called in this line, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I am in the process of doing it. Now, that's how you become wise. Because when the Lord was calling me so many years ago into this end time thing, I've spoken this story when the first time I read 1 Chronicles 12:32. You know it. What does it say? Of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. Now, I want you to leave that scripture there. Now, the thing is, that time I used to read book by book in the Bible. I no longer read the Bible like that. I go revelation by revelation. Amen? Now, that time I would get Genesis and I read all of Genesis. And so I was going book by book. So I was in 2 Chronicles, or rather 1 Chronicles, and I'm reading just like any other story. David is gathering an army. Now when I saw that scripture, it was like it slapped me in the face. Praise the Lord. Now there are times when I know through the scripture, like just reading, when a scripture stands out and you know that God has spoken, and it cannot be any more spectacular, even if he showed up with the lightning and thunder. You know. Amen? I remember the first time that happened, actually, I'd just gotten saved, I think about a month or two, and I was in school, and there was a disco. No? There was a disco, and there were some, you know, girls from another, you know, school, and they looked actually very good. And I'd just been saved for two months. Eh? Now, at the same time, there was a prayer here, fellowship. Eh? Now, I told the whole school, and I was a famous guy, so I told the whole school that I'm born again. Eh? So, I went for the prayer. But only my body was at the prayer. Everything, I've never felt, but it sounds funny now, eh? But it was the biggest conflict in my life at the time. My mind, my soul, my everything were in the what? Where guys were dancing. And I was even listening to the music. Eh? And like even shaking my man. But because I would get ashamed if I had gone there and people say, hey, you said you were saved, eh? So I decided to stay here. But it was tearing me apart. So eventually, having failed to deceive myself that I'm actually in fellowship when I wasn't, I decided I'm just going to go to the dorm and go neither to fellowship nor to the disco. So I lifted myself and went to the dorm, and I was in serious distress. I said, what have I gotten myself into? Maybe I should just go and tell people this was a mistake. Can you please accept me back in your fold? And by the way, I was very close to doing it. Now, I walk into the dormitory, and I just arrive there, and I sit on the bed, and I'm so sad, and I open my Bible like this, the way I've opened it, and the scriptures, and I just look at it like this casually, and the two scriptures stood out for me, Proverbs 23, they were right there. I just opened my Bible, and right there, Proverbs 23 verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Now, there, I knew God had spoken to me. It was so clear, even if he had showed up in the flesh, it would not have been more spectacular than this. I just opened it, and in the translation I had, it said, do not let your heart not envy sinners, but in the fear of the Lord, continue all day long. For there is surely a time after here, and your hope will not be cut off. So when I read that, my heart settled completely. And I knew that God had spoken to me. Like, so from that day onwards, I knew I had made a mistake. 25 years later, I haven't made a mistake. Eh? Some of you have received messages like those. Eh? Now, the next time I felt a scripture standing out like that was this. The sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the time. Now, of course, it's a common scripture, everybody says it. But I remember sometime, the first time I saw it, I even went to people from my church and said, do you see what the Bible says here? And the guy looked at it, then looked at me and said, yeah. Like, they are not seeing what you're seeing. And, like, it was your message. So, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do? Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because I understand the times we are living in. And I know what you ought to be doing. All of you, praise the Lord. You cannot live your lives like the people out there. No. We have been called, to prepare people for these end times. Amen? And how do they do it? By being not unwise, but being wise and knowing exactly what the will of God is. Precisely what the will of God is. Because there are so many people who never ever get to do the will of God even once. And every time you do not, there is a gap that is left. And it's usually fueled by the evil people. Amen? So, that whole thing of the will of God, you know, people usually say the will of God. But if you actually ask God, he can tell you specifically. And in very specific terms, that now I want you to do this. Now I want you to do this. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, other people are busy serving God, but they're actually serving themselves. Now, don't be like those. I remember the first time how many times I've spoken of Kenneth Hagin. Somebody told me she went and read all Kenneth Hagin books because she heard me speaking about them. Now, They might not be as spectacular now as they were then. Eh? Because you know, revelation is progressive. Eh? So just because something was spectacular when I was growing up, okay, I'm not saying it is not, but that does not necessarily mean that it might be right now. Eh? Not necessarily, but it might be. So anyhow, so he said he had been a pastor for 12 years. And God is working miracles, things are happening, he's teaching people faith, and everything seems to be okay. Then God tells him one day that now, leave the church and start field ministry. Field ministry meaning going from church to church, ministry to ministry, ministering. Then he left the church, resigned from the church, and then went to field ministry. Then the Lord told him, now, you've just entered the first phase of your ministry. Then he said, God, after 12 years, I'm just entering the first phase. And then the Lord told him that so many people die having never entered the first phase. So just like after 12 years wasted is not the biggest waste. So many people waste all their lives. And you go to heaven and you did things, even preached and what, but potea. There is no crown, there is no reward, okay, apart from being in heaven. Like, there is nothing, because the only thing you are rewarded for is doing what God wants you to do. Nothing else, even if it seems to be working. Even if you're still converting people, if that's to Christ, if that's not what God called you to do, those people will be converted and go to heaven. Eh? They will not be unconverted because God did not send you. But that's what it calls dead works. So now you have to know, be wise and understand what the will of God is. Now it doesn't just say no, it says understand. Like understand meaning the whole plot. Okay? So, if there is a football team and you're told that we are going to play like this, you first understand the tactics of the team. Okay? We are going to defend because there is a second leg and we'll attack in the second leg. Now, that's called understanding. Now, then you know specifically in this defending thing, what is my role? Now, you cannot, if you know just your role without knowing the whole plot, then you're half-baked. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to know what the whole plot of God is, what we are doing generally as a group. Then you know specifically what you're doing. Now that's the difference between knowing and understanding the will of God. So you understand the tactics of the team, that we are going to attack for the first 30 minutes, hope to score a goal, then we defend because there is second leg. Then afterwards you say, okay, what am I doing in the 30 minutes when we are attacking? What am I doing in the rest of the game when we are defending? Okay, knowing and understanding. Now, I want to show you something, just a brief video here, to show you like things which you don't see anywhere in the news, but which are in the news. Eh? Lydia, you play that thing. It's a bit long. I'll tell you when to stop. Eh? But you listen carefully.
Over the past few decades, tremendous advancements have been made in the field of neuroscience, from mapping the human brain to creating devices that can capture digital images of our thoughts. But what if we could upload a digital copy of our memories and consciousness to a point that human beings could actually achieve a sort of digital immortality? This idea has inspired many science fiction movies, including the upcoming film Transcendence, where one man's mind is uploaded into a supercomputer which possesses the collective knowledge of all of humanity. But while the film is fiction, the concept behind it is very real. It's also the subject of a new book called Future of the Mind, which is currently number one on the New York Times bestseller list. The author is renowned theoretical physicist Michio Kaku. Earlier today, Breaking the Set producer Manuel Rapolo caught up with Dr. Kaku and first asked him how far we really are from achieving a digital upload of consciousness.
Just last year, for the first time in world history, a memory was recorded. We can actually tape record a memory and insert it back into an animal, and it remembers. This is amazing. At Wake Forest University, also in Los Angeles, they took a mouse, trained the mouse to sip water, recorded the memory in the hippocampus right here, small organ that processes memory. The mouse later forgot that. Then they shot the memory back into the mouse, and bingo, the mouse got it the first try. Next will be primates. Perhaps a monkey eating a banana will record that memory and insert it back in. And the short-term goal is to create a brain pacemaker for Alzheimer's patients. In the future, we're going to have millions of people who forget where they live, wander around. Why not have a button? You push the button and you immediately remember where you live, who you are, who your kids are. And beyond that, who knows? Maybe we'll upload the vacation that you never had.
It seems so mind-blowing to me to consider that memory, which is not a static thing, it's always changing, it's evolving depending on our experiences, can be digitized. It's really mind-blowing. But I want to ask you about something else that you mentioned in the book, the ability for telepathy. And you've actually said in the past that in the future, humans will be able to mentally contact anybody we want, see whatever image we want, and if we don't like it, we can just turn it off.
That's
really
right. In the future, in fact, today we can get so that you walk into a room, we'll put on a headset, such that you can control the lights, turn on the TV, call for your car, tell your car where to go, type, dictate documents without ever touching a computer screen. And our children will wonder, how could you possibly live in a world where you had to touch the screen and you had a mouse and you had to type? Everybody just thinks and types, makes documents, controls cars.
It's fascinating where we're headed, and it seems like it really is inevitable. And I think a lot is taken for granted over the things that we're already able to do now. I mean, you were just referring to these sensors in the brain that can capture images inside the brain. What are some of the other practical applications that these things could have?
Well, this will replace the internet. It'll become a brain net. We'll record emotions, thoughts, patterns, behavior, and send it on the internet. Teenagers will love it. Can you imagine Facebook? You send emotions, your first date, your first kiss, your first senior prom, all on the internet. Teenagers already put little like happy faces on their emails, right? We're going to be able to record thoughts, and the movies are going to be replaced by the brain net. Movies today are a flat screen with sound. That's the movies, right? In the future, perhaps emotions and feelings will also be conveyed. This is called total immersion entertainment.
It's amazing. And actually, that reminds me of this new movie that's coming out now, this Johnny Depp movie called Transcendence, where it kind of takes that premise as well, you know, taking your consciousness and uploading it digitally. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, you make it sound like it's going to be a lot of fun, but it also, there's aspects that I think are a little bit terrifying. And I wanted to ask you about this new pill that's being developed that can slow down a person's perception of time. And what's being said is that, you know, this could be applied to prisoners. And given they'll take a pill, it'll slow down the perception of time so that eight hours could feel like a thousand year sentence. How would this work, and why does the future sound so terrifying?
Well, we are tinkering with the brain itself. For example, people who have traumatic memories of war, sometimes they're paralyzed with these horrible memories of a rape, an accident, warfare. We can create a forgetful drug that actually takes the edge off many of our most violent and oppressive memories. However, the President's Commission on Bioethics recommended against marketing the forgetful drug because they said that even unpleasant memories are useful. We learn from them. But personally, I think that sometimes some memories are so disastrously awful that they paralyze you. They prevent you from becoming a normal person. And I think we should allow forgetful drugs to be marketed. Also, drugs and therapies which can perhaps even increase intelligence are now being talked about. We'll have perhaps memories that we can upload into the mind, perhaps memories of a job that we're not trained for, or perhaps a college student will upload a course that they flunked in college. We can perhaps increase our intelligence. And now we're also investigating super intelligence, photographic memory. People who memorize everything, they hear a concert, they see a landscape, they can draw the landscape, they can reproduce the entire concert on one try. How is it possible that people have that mind? We now believe that the mind records, but the mind also forgets deliberately. These people, the forget mechanism is broken. They never forget. They have a photographic memory, and we think that some great scientists of the past had this ability, the ability to have access to powers of the mind that we cannot as mortals.
Right, and this is nothing new. This is something that you know can date back for a very long time. People that have those photographic memories, and you've actually said that right now, the time that we're living in is the golden age for learning about the mind. That we've learned more in the last 15 years than in all of prior human history. Why? What took so long?
Because only recently have we had the physics, the instruments like the MRI scans that are sensitive enough to see the blood flow of the thinking brain down to like a tenth of a millimeter. And now we have supercomputers that can actually read these thoughts and control computers by thinking. So by thinking, we can now control mechanical arms, mechanical legs. We can type. We can control thermostats, turn on the web, change a channel on a TV set, turn on the toaster. All of it just mentally. And at the next international soccer games in Brazil, scientists at Duke University want to take someone who's totally paralyzed, outfit him with an exoskeleton, and he will introduce the international soccer games in Brazil.
That's amazing. And actually, one of those things that I've always enjoyed about your work is you're very gifted in taking these complex theories and making them easier
okay.
to understand.
By the way, that interview was in 2014, 4 years ago. So imagine how much more progress has been made. Of course, some of you noticed they are saying President Obama and what, and Saudi Arabia. That was 2014. So now imagine how much more progress has been made now. So what this means is that they upload information into your brain that they want to upload. So you can make me a neurosurgeon by getting the brains of a neurosurgeon and just pew. And suddenly I know everything. I know how to operate brains. You understand? So, if your car is spoiled, you go and get a mechanic and get his brains and put them in your, and then you sort your car. As well as other things. So you can make anybody anything. So you see, they say the brain, and they started these things long time ago. Now you see those Chinese, they get young children when they are innovating, even all these innovative things, the phones you use and everything. They get young children, most of them, 14 is too old. Usually they are younger than that. And their parents have to consent to this because this destroys your mind completely. Now they show you how the phone works without saying anything, but they just connect those things to their brain and they show them how the phone works. And then because at that age, brains are so almost pure, they have not been contaminated by so many other things, The things that contaminate brains are things like love, what, those things. Now, so they get those kids, and now they connect them. Now, what the kid is thinking is being recorded somewhere. So the kid shows that, you know, we can actually improve this function. They show them what the function is. For instance, those apps, okay? So they show them what the extent of what is known. Then the kids automatically start saying, but you know, if you did this and this and the other, you'd actually improve that app and make it both faster and what, you can actually introduce it. And every thought of theirs is being recorded, because they have that thing connected to them. Now, usually by the age of 18, they are spent completely and they either become drug addicts, so many of them commit suicide and what, because they have, but the parents are paid money for that and they get usually very sharp kids. But none of them lives a normal life after that. Because they have sucked something out of their brain and like almost fast-tracked it and messed everything up. Now, this thing that you see here, he says they are going to create a brain net. Like the internet. So, people are connected in their brain with their brains. So now, your brain is connected to your car. So when you enter your car, you don't have to steer or do what. You just think and it takes you. Kamocha. So you're sitting there and thinking, and there is no effort physically from you. You heard what he says, you turn on your toaster, turn on the lights, run your shower and do that all by thinking. And everything else is done for you. Now, doesn't that? And he says, teenagers will love it. Of course, because teenagers have been groomed through television to accept all these things. You understand? But what else will they do? Of course, they will also, if somebody can turn me into a neurosurgeon, he can also turn me into a servant of the Antichrist. You understand? Now, the other day, Becky was telling me how she dreamt the Antichrist and how the mark of the beast is. And they lure you, come, and you know, you go. Then she said it's like a lift. So you take a lift and then you go downstairs. And the minute you go downstairs, lose any memory of what you knew before. And the one thing you also lose is the ability to make decisions. So now, you're told what to do and you do it without question. And actually, she said that when you're there, you have a very scant recollection of the time when you could still make your own decisions. But it's like some distant thing, but you can no longer make your own decisions. Because if somebody has control, if there is a brain net, and somebody has control over your mind, that system of the Antichrist, then you're doomed. You understand? So then every decision of yours is made by him, because there is a direct call. Now, this is actually, like, this 2014, the beginnings of the mark of the beast, and how powerful it can be, and how, why the scripture says in Revelation 14:9 that everybody who takes the mark of the beast is doomed to go to hell. Because you can no longer even make a decision. You can no longer even repent. That has been taken away from you. Your last decision is to take the mark. After that, everything is made for you. And you see, these guys come here and speak it on TV, and it is produced as a very good thing to help Alzheimer's. You heard what the guy said, that we can even implant in you a holiday you did not take. So you say, man, I was at Copacabana Beach, and it was wonderful. And your passport shows you've never left. You never left Uganda. But somehow, somebody implanted in you some memory, and you have, and you see, it kills the whole of humanity. Because what is love? Love, like, you know, love. Eh? Love is just a collection of good memories you have with somebody whom you love. You understand? Eh? We went here, what? You know, you remember how you first met? And that's all. That's everything. Eh? And yet it is so crucial for us, eh, as human beings, to our souls and our emotions, eh, that, okay, you imagine your father, if they took away all the memories of him taking you to school, buying you biscuit and all that, eh, and they are removed. You look at him and he's like any other man. What makes him special and your father is those things you remember as a child. You wanted this, he did this, and you know all those things. So now, if somebody takes that humanity away from you, then you are a robot. And clearly, that thing is rooted, of course, in the Nephilim, as it was in the days of Noah. Eh? So shall it be in the days of Son of Man. So they take away all your love memories. And this, they say that marriage is going to end very shortly. So if you are not, I'm joking. But they say these same guys, because they remove all that stuff. And things which mean a lot to us, like emotion, like love between, you know, parents and even like, you know, people who are, you know, romantic love and all that is wiped away. So all the memories you have of your wedding, of what, when you first met, when you held hands at some park and what, all of them are removed. So you look at this woman and you say, who is this? It has all been erased. And like, it is so simple. You see, a man says that we see the internet, the way we are connected through the internet. Now we are going to have a brain net. And now, if that isn't the mark of the beast, then what is? Now, 4 years, eh? Since this interview was given on Russia television, 4 years, a lot of progress has been made as it is of him taking away. And now the purpose of it all is to create immortality. You live forever because they take your thinking, your consciousness, and all those things when your biological body is beginning to crumble. So they remove them and put them in a robot. So then, you bury your body. No problem. But you are more or less, you are not more or less, you are actually alive. Because what is life? What is being alive? Isn't it that? Of course, apart from the spirit, but that's it. So everything you knew, all of them are uploaded onto some kind of robot, which is made of metal, so it's not going to wear away, it's not going to get malaria and what? You understand? Eh? So, all the promises of God in the Bible, immortality, eternal life, and what these people, the devil has given his people a way of promising those people the same thing without God. Which is this, exactly, we are back to the Garden of Eden. You know, God says, you do that. They say, no, you will not die. You'll become like God. And that is the key thing. And now that is the temptation of Lucifer. It says in Isaiah 14, eh, where it talks about him. Verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You weakened the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Okay? I would ascend above the heights of the clouds. I would be like the Most High. Now, the temptation of Satan is, I want to be God. You understand? Now, the temptation Satan gives men is, you be God. You can be your own God. You understand? Which is the same thing as him. So he says, I want to be like the Most High. I want to ascend my... So he saw everything God has and says, I want that. Now, so he comes to man. He promises him eternal life. He promises him he will not die. But man had life anyway. He promised him, he showed him that there is something better. Which is the whole thing that we are going right back there. Of, you are going to be like the Most High. Now you live. So now when you come and tell them here from the Bible, that no, I'm immortal. Even if I die, it's just a change of address. I will be right there and, it's all okay. Then they say, no, we can achieve that without Jesus Christ. We can achieve it through science. Okay? Now, the man is called... first show some of those pictures which I told you to show. Pig head. Okay. Pig brains are kept alive outside their bodies for the first time in a radical experiment that could allow humans to become immortal. This is this was actually April, 26th April, which was when? Yesterday or the day before? Yesterday. Okay. So, take out the pig brains and all the consciousness. And you saw what the other guy said. You train a mouse to sip water. Then afterwards, they go for that part of the brain because they can see the whole brain. So they go for that part of the brain which learned how to sip water. Then they pull out, those things that. Then suddenly the mouse cannot sip water any longer. It has forgotten. Then they inject them back and suddenly the mouse knows how to sip water. Now pigs are actually closer in terms of brain what? I don't know why, but pigs are very close to human beings. Eh? Maybe because they also eat a lot. Eh? But pigs are much closer. So now they are doing the same. You get a pig brain, take it out. It forgets everything it knew. Then you inject it in, then it knows everything it knew. So now you see this is breakthrough for them. Eh? Because then, they can now the next thing is human beings. So they can do that. And now, from the other one where it is a bit speculative, now here it's actual. Animals, pigs, they can do it now. So, humans could become immortal. Who needs Jesus Christ? Do you see it? And this is the whole point, that we don't need God. We can get eternal life. We can get immortality. We can get rid of sickness. We can get rid of biological death without God. Now that is the devil himself. Eh? That is the same temptation of the devil. Like what he was. So we do not need God in all this arrangement. Now that's why the first thing. But these people look so far ahead. I read about Charles Darwin and how he went on that island somewhere in Australia. And nobody knew what he did for years. Then he came from there with the evolution thing. Of course, he got it from demons. Eh? It wasn't biological research. Eh? None of these people get anything from, It is the devil comes and gives you some revelation. As it has been before, and it is the Nephilim from way back who taught the people in the days of Noah spirituality and how to transcend and all these things. So the angels come and teach them supernatural things but without God. So it's the same thing. So now the thing grows and grows and grows. Now the time for it comes and now suddenly the stage is set. Science can even bring people back to life. If somebody dies, you just harvest the brains and the consciousness very fast before they morph. And then the guy comes back to life. And you can even have conversations with them. Completely, they are the same person. Okay? The same person, only instead of hands and what, they are made of what? Of metals. So if it was your husband, don't expect him to kiss you. So, but you can talk with him and, do everything else. Okay, go ahead. We see the next. You see, now this is transhuman. This is the new evolution. So now, but I don't even know why people believe these things. Because you find Africans speaking evolution. Do you know that they started black and they eventually became Bazungu? So by this theory, we are supposed to become Bazungu at some stage. Somehow, we are not yet fully developed. But anyway, you see now what happens after that. Machine. It's called singularity. The connection between a man and a machine so that they become one. And that is the now top guys in Silicon Valley donating money. And they know how to donate money. You tell people here to give you money for the gospel. Man, you have to talk and talk. The guy is giving $50 million. What? For this transhumanism. Okay? And it's going to end in a few years and they go to hell. For you, your thing is going to last forever. You understand? Eh? You cannot give money to the gospel and it will reflect on you for eternity. Now, but you see, I was seeing how much they donate. This Bloomberg. Over how many million to climate change, which of course is a hoax. But it is a part of their whole mupango to control humans. And all these things, and they give a lot. Okay, you might say they have the money, but then also, some of us don't give as much as we can. And the thing is, like when you have an understanding of the times and what they understand the will of God, not there is knowing, but when you understand the will of God, that even for us to go to schools, there is an element of money, you understand? So then you know the will of God, then you understand it, that we need to, you know? And these people know their thing very well, very well. Now go ahead. There was immortality bus. Zoltan Itzvan. This man, you know, there is in the 2016 election in America, this was recently, which was won by Trump, there was a transhumanist party which joined the Democrats and the Republicans. And their presidential candidate was some guy called Zoltan Itzvan. And now he drives across America telling them, I was reading his story. He said he used to work as, I think as a journalist or something in war-torn areas. And they would go to places where there are landmines in the whole place and nobody knows where they are. And yet they had to walk through those fields and dig up some of those things. And so he said he got tired of constantly being afraid of death. So he decided, why don't I become immortal? So now he has the transhumanist party in America. He actually stood for presidency. Okay, but you know, it doesn't get to that level. It's really at the very elementary level. But in reality, he actually stood for president in 2016. This guy. And they are so obsessed with death. Go ahead to the next picture. I looked at this picture and I was amused because, okay, you can't see anything there. It's okay. But they sit in a bus with skulls, skulls of dead people next to him. And the guy is here on his phone. And there's a skull here of, you know, of a dead person and what. Like the rules of, they are talking of immortality, but actually they have an obsession with death. And the guy is scared. So was so scared of death that he started on this thing. Now, he's the man who addressed in 2015, he went and addressed 1,000 millionaires, multi-millionaires in the city of New York and told them, and this is part of his, he said that you've struggled to get wealthy, to get to where you are, and in the process, some of you have had your bodies waste away. And you're sick and you're frail, but you have money. He said, now it's time for you to commit that money to a scientific project that can make sure that you don't have to die. Because, you know, at that level, the one thing that everybody is scared of is death. So he told them, you actually don't have to be scared of death. Give your money. And they donated quite an amount of money. And he promised them immortality. At first, he said, by 2045. But they have revised it downwards very fast. Because as you saw that guy saying, things are happening so fast. The only thing they needed to do is to get a computer that they can put around your brain and they see the movements and know exactly what you're thinking about. And now they have it. The rest is so simple. So he promised them immortality. And he stood 1,000 in the city of New York. And they gave money. Okay? They give money. Now all these people, you see Zuckerberg, and they give millions for these causes. You understand? And now when I see it, it really messes me up. Because they have fake demonic causes, but they are so committed to them. So committed. They don't have a minute to waste, those people. somebody is so rich, but they don't have a, they quickly realign themselves. Now, the other day I was seeing how Tony Blair, the former British Prime Minister, said he's committing the rest of his life to make sure that the world comes together in one religion, to unify religions, the six, and remove the boundaries. Of course, that's a very demonic thing. And they are saying, you know, to create peace in the world and so on. And then he has some pastors on his board. Okay, former pastors. I don't know if I can still call Rick Warren a pastor. I think now he's more or less a new ager. And so on. So he launches this thing and says, now this is my life project. Okay? Now, I don't see the same thing. And you see, you come among believers, and somebody has some little money and comfort, and they just sit and relax. In times such as this, you know, once the guy knows that I have a business, I'm not going to be poor, my children are going to have, then he sits and relaxes. Now, these guys, they have life causes. The guy said, the rest of my life. And they are fighting for the devil, and they are going to hell. So, this, when I see the world, it makes me so sad. Because the people of the world, Jesus said, the people of this world, you know, are more what? Shrewd in their generation and the children of the kingdom. They know how to strategize. They know how to enter things and do certain things. They know how to get dominion. And they gave the church a moral gospel. You understand? Eh? A moral gospel. So you are in a, you are interviewing people for a job, and somebody who is not born again wins, and the second one is born again, and you say, I mean, ethics and what? That's rubbish. No, you say, now that's lying. No, it is not. How did Jacob get the blessing? Like, let me tell you, dominion is not created with that stupid morality. The gospel of dominion is done by, you go in a place, you make sure people like you dominate. Praise the Lord. Then when you do that, you're spreading. You cannot preach the gospel with these things of, praise the Lord, you know, like street preachers. The time for, do you still see crusades any longer, big crusades? 20 years ago, that's how people were preaching the gospel. But now the gospel is dominion. If you join those guys, like it was in the book of Acts, you join those guys, you lack nothing. But make sure you're serious. And then the people are added. People are added. Now, if the devil gives you this moralistic gospel, where you turn something spiritual into simple behavior modification program. The other day I was talking about... We're talking with some guy, a friend of mine here, about some gentleman who moved in the spirit, seriously. But okay, the guy had serious issues. He had very serious issues and he was very obscene. But he could pull off spiritual things which would astound everybody. Some of you have heard of him. The guy even walked on water in Sweden. And it was recorded. He ran. He did not even walk. He ran on. But you listen to the guy talk. When you listen to the guy talk, you say, but man, God. Like the guy would kuemura, eh? Like, and he's talking very weird things, and everybody is in shock. Then he says, now let the sick come. There's a time, like, after he has spoken very weird things. Now, by the way, that thing used to confuse me, because I saw him, I know him. That thing used to confuse me completely. How? Then I would say, no, this cannot be the power of God. But then you knew somehow deep inside you, it is the power of God. But why is it resident in that person? Do you understand? Eh? How can the power of God be resident in a man like that? So somehow you feel you're more deserving. Okay? And you wonder why God chose him and not you. Eh? But the guy would go, there's a time he went to Busoga and they wanted to tear him apart, sick people. So he climbed the tree, like away from them. And said, now the power of healing is in this tree. And people were touching the tree and getting healed. But you listen to him talk. Okay, some of you, I cannot even say, people who know him, some of you have heard him. And you say, as a Mnyankoda, and I think, like, and I think they really know how to use their words when it comes to, when it comes to obscene stuff. Anyhow, so I would wonder, man, what's wrong with this? What? With this guy? Eh? How can he? Then I started studying it. Then I looked at even old revivalists. Old revivalists, people who had serious weaknesses, but they had serious manifestations of the, supernatural power of God. But there was a revivalist who was always drunk. Like, his parents taught him how to drink. I think they had a distillery. You know, those days they would distill at home. Eh? I'm talking about, so I think they had a distillery. So as a kid, the guy was always drinking. Then he became a top revivalist, but the miraculous, and the guy is high. And now those things, these are true stories, by the way, and like there's nothing. Then I realized that actually, even in the Bible, there's a reason why God tells us weaknesses of all men of God. He praises David, then David does something weird. And God continues praising him even after he died. But because of my servant David, even Solomon, he says, because you've messed up, but because of David, it will not happen in your lifetime. And you say, but the David you're talking about, no, he was a messed up guy. But God is saying, no, like, they are special. Now, until I read that, what is it? 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, the treasure is in a vessel of earth, like me and like you. You understand? Eh? The vessel is not the thing. The thing is the treasure which God puts there. Because he's not going to use angels. Do you understand? So you have to understand that the treasure of the supernatural is put in very earthen vessels. So when you are offended by somebody's earthenness, so you find me one day, and I've, you know, heard a security guard like this. Eh? Said, you, eh? He said, the watchman, that one cannot be the man of God. Cannot be a man of God. But the treasure is in earthen vessels. Now God, for him, will continue putting the treasure in me. You understand? Because he's not going to use angels. So if you find me slapping some guy, and you cheer coming for watchman, you are the one who loses out. God will continue using me, and for you will miss out. Praise the Lord. Because that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. So when you see a man who is talking weird, or doing, like, that was the moralistic gospel which has kept the church in bondage. So even when you go and try to manifest spiritual things, the devil will just come and tell you something you did wrong and what, and then you cut yourself off. You think you're undeserving. You understand? Eh? And he knows how to do that, because if he can tie you down to morals, then he's finished you. Because there will always be something you've not done right. You've not prayed this week. You've not done what? You lied to somebody that you are in Jinja, yet you are in town. You did that. And all those things, which all of you do. But does that mean there is no treasure in you? No, there is treasure. But you are an earthen vessel. Praise the Lord. Eh, but God puts his treasure in a vessel of earth, which can be broken, which can be done what? Yeah, but the treasure is there. Praise the Lord. Now, before we get into this dominion thing, we have to understand for real, that gospel of morals, that me, I left Mwenge and I left Sigara, now I'm born again. How can you reduce? Did Jesus die for that you leave Mwenge and Sigara? But how can you reduce the most powerful event in the spiritual realm, by which you are bought, into just some behavior change? Like, it's such a disservice to Jesus, that if you could, why didn't he should have just stayed there and we leave Mwenge and Sigara. I don't need Jesus to leave Mwenge and Sigara. Amen? So when you understand what it really is, but you know, okay, that's how it started that time, eh? I know that's how, you know, in the days we got born again, it was that. And even preaching something like what I'm saying now would have been seen to be you encouraging people to sin. Eh? Even now, eh? Okay. After all, I'm not the one who said the treasure is in earthen vessels. Did I write those scriptures? Yeah. Now, they say you're giving people a license to what? Yeah, but you have been sinning without a license. But you see, when you turn things into pretense, eh? So people pretend that they are perfect and what? Like, you cannot even get over those things and while you're still pretending. you are as sick as your secrets. So the reason people are held up in bondages and in addictions is because they are hiding it. Now, the minute somebody says, no, 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 it's okay, like, then this, that thing breaks. Eh? The scripture says the strength of sin is the law. Eh? 1 Corinthians 15, what? 56. Eh? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So remove the law and sin has no strength. Tell somebody that we know you're addicted to pornography and what, but that doesn't mean you don't come and worship. Because that's why Jesus died, to take that away. Amen? Eh. So, don't fear to come and worship, because you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That's why the blood of Jesus was shed. Not because now, so that even if you have issues, you go straight into the presence of God, and God receives you as a beloved child, because Jesus sorted the issue of your weaknesses on the cross. Amen? So, there is no excuse not to have a relationship with God, except if you decide that you are too busy. But otherwise, if you get time, the door is open. It is open. That's why it says, come boldly before the throne of grace. 1 Corinthians, what? Hebrews 4, what? 6. Eh? 6:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Who needs mercy? A perfect person? Hey. Earthen treasures. You come boldly. Can you imagine you coming with all your... So you've just been surfing pornography. But you come boldly. I'm not the one who wrote those scriptures. Praise the Lord. Boldly. Like, let me tell you, eh? Let me be honest with you, eh? Until you understand what Jesus did, you will never have pure worship. Amen? When you really understand what Jesus did for you, by removing all those things, when you go to worship, it is so pure. Because how can somebody be so good? How can God be so good that he says, no, 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 no. Come, I love you. You understand? Like that is the introduction to the goodness of God. That my sins were taken care of, I can walk straight to him and speak to him like a father. Praise the Lord. Now, when you get that inside you, your worship will become pure. Because you know Jesus did something, like you know this is not just about, you're not trying to purify yourself. Somebody did it for you. Now, for you, just go there and ask boldly. Now, even this boldly thing, because even that scripture, which, 1 John 4, what? 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Who has boldness in judgment? Judgment, you're supposed to be scared. But the Bible says you come boldly on the day of judgment. Boldly, like you are sure I am sorted. Jesus sorted that thing. Praise the Lord. But some people have to understand these things completely, because that's what will free you to do the will of God. Because you know you are accepted, you are covered, you are sorted, you understand? Eh? You are beloved, you are like this, boldly. So then when you understand what Jesus did, you will say, now what do you want? Lord, what is your will for me in this world? I want to please you. Because you sorted everything. I'm assured of going to heaven. I'm what, like, you know? Do you understand? Eh? My inheritance is assured. It is not dependent on how I, perform. Everything is done. Now, even when you go to worship, it is pure. Because you know, like Jesus did everything. Okay? His praise shall continually be in your mouth. When you understand this. So imagine, it says, come boldly before the throne of judgment. And you just show up, whistling and holding in your hands. Man, glory to God. Praise the Lord. So now, do not walk as unwise, but as the wise. Walk circumspectly, knowing exactly what God's will for your life is. Like, have that in the back of you, that what does God want me to do? I don't want to just do things like you, like the world out there lives their life. chasing money. They come and say, tunonya send. Know what the will of God for your life is and do it and focus on it. And you see how that money will come. Praise the Lord. Without you chasing it. Amen? But you see, what connects you to the world is that thing of they are chasing money, you're also chasing money. You know, they are chasing worldly things, you're also chasing worldly things. So what makes people fear the world and easily fall for the temptations of the world? What makes, for instance, like last week, that Hillsong video I gave you, what makes Hillsong come up with a video like that? Because, do you know why? Because you achieve a certain level of success, then you go and get people whom you think are very good. Eh? That professionals. Do you understand? Eh? So you get a professional video maker from Rihanna or what? Eh? Because now you're letting your success make decisions for you. So then you call the guy and tell him you also want to make a video. And you pay him top dollar. And he brings that rubbish. Because for them, they push their kingdom. He's not going to come and say, no, you know, these are born again, so let us do what. No, they will come and do their demonic things in your born again thing. You're the one who called them. And there are people within the church who can do videos. Amen? Like even this, they get security companies of people out there who do not understand the anointing. And the guy comes there and starts messing you up, eh? And becoming very ruthless, and they do not understand the flow of the anointing. Why do people do that success? And because somehow the church before had been implanted with this thing that real success is when the world accepts you. So when you're invited on CNN, when you're invited where, now you've made it. When you've invited on Larry King, Oprah, and all that, now you've made it. But you see, unless your mind completely changes and changes before you ever get to that level. You remember what I told you last week? You have to change your perception before you ever get there. If you wait to get there, you will make those same mistakes. So you have to say from here, Lord, if I ever get in a position of prominence, I will not fear. Because they ask people simple questions about homosexuality and you see somebody fumbling. Now it's easy for, like, let's say for me to sit here and say, ah, man, that guy, how can he? But that is also not wise. Amen? When you see somebody who is strong falling, don't think you're so special. Try to understand why. Why is it? What? How can I change so that if I ever get there, I'm different? Eh? Because you know there is presumption that, those guys are fake. Because you've never gone there. Now you go there and see. First of all, they mess them up in the spirit. You go there in the flesh, somebody messes you up in the spirit. And man, those guys know how to do those spiritual things, eh? Which believers don't know how to do. Now, the other day, I was talking about what? How this Catholic archbishop goes and says, man, they are spying on us, what? And he's crying like a big baby. But you know what happened after that shocked me? Because all it took is one meeting with the president, and the guy was saying, man, Mr. President, can you please tell the media to stop writing bad stories about me? Man, like, a head of a Catholic church? I was in shock. Then do you know what the guy said? And man, eh, that guy knows how to show people for their what? For their... So he brings them and puts them in front of the media. Then a whole archbishop comes and says, the government should sponsor us to go to the Vatican and the Muslims to go to Mecca. That's what the archbishop said. The head of a Catholic church? And you're asking the president to sponsor you? Really? Do you know how rich the Catholic church is? They cannot even be touched. But you've been reduced to asking. Man, I was in shock. Now you blame pastors. Now that guy, that whole system, they have a lot of, but he's there telling the president. Now, the Muslims should go to Mecca and also sponsor us to go to Vatican. Man, by the way, okay, like you have no idea how that shocked me, eh? Because man, how the mighty have fallen. But how do you think it comes to that? You talk from here, you go there. I'm telling you, if you're not a spiritual person, you live there when you're speaking in other tongues. The Chigai will... By the way, those things, and I learned them a long time ago. Somebody tell me, come and meet me. I never meet somebody who I do not know for sure, except on grounds which are favorable to me. I cannot. Somebody says, no, come to my, you know, come to my home. And how? So you go there, the Chigai has done his things. Eh? When you sit there, you become a different person. Praise the Lord. Eh. Now, you know, you can actually even mess people up like that yourselves. Eh? Somebody comes to you and you say, let me handle them in the spirit. Eh? And everything you say, they are saying, yes, yes, yes. Then, man, by the way, that was the most shocking story of this year. You have no idea. The head of the Catholic Church asking for a ticket to Vatican. The Catholic Church. Those guys own the World Bank. That's why you can't even touch them. There is no nation that can touch, no nation in this world, even America, that can touch the Catholic Church. You see these things of Rwanda saying over how many churches? They cannot touch a Catholic Church. You will not know what hit you. Man, those people started planting their dominion in the 1800s. By 1910, they owned almost all the banks in America and what. So their thing is so deep and so powerful at that level. So then their head in Uganda is asking the president. Then he said that this money which you are wasting fighting corruption, that you channel it through the church and we'll help you fight corruption. You know, the other day I was reading, they were saying that if the Vatican was to pay taxes, Italy would become one of the richest countries in Europe. Right now they're in financial trouble. But just taxes from the Vatican. Now, anyway, but you know, don't play with subduing in the spirit. Eh? So don't just go to some people. And even some ladies, somebody comes and says, come here, you come, we have dinner, then he gives you money. And they subdue in the spirit. The next thing, you wake up when you're singing a different song. Eh? Don't accept, don't ask, unless you're sure. Eh? Because guys are spiritual, by the way. Eh? And you have to have your spiritual guard up. And you can tell when there is a clash of a spirit. And you can tell who is above. Because those people, once they realize that there's a clash of spirit and you're above them, they will run away. They have a way of getting lost. Eh? They'll say, yeah, bye, what? And they take off. They don't want to be around you because you will mess them up. Praise the Lord. You mess them up just by you being there. Somebody can end up confessing Christ just because they are near you. Then they go and they say, what was that? You've already quartuzzled them. Eh? And now they are saying, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Know the will of God and understand it. Eh? Amen? Yeah, okay. People come and ask me, how do I know the will of God? How many people really want to know the will of God? And you want me to pray for you? Precise, stand up. No condemnation eh? For those who do not know the will of God. Now, tonight, God is going to reveal it to you specifically. Okay? Now, do not come to my office to ask me what the will of God is. At least come with a dream. I will help you interpret it. Amen? Because I cannot tell you even if I knew. Because what if you get there and things become tough? And then you say, but where did I get this from? So, I cannot. So, pray in tongues. Shoko grazantalaba shila morozitere bokro shila mazintoro mazin. Rika mazantala bashiko kozon toro boshika triazin toro shila rela maharasika mazin toro shina riko gamazantala bashika mrazantan. You have to know where the place of your dominion is. What area are you dominating? What area are you supposed to dominate?
Seke brazanta la bakuro shoku cruzinta masiro brazinta la macrazinta la shoku. Marazik le morshike grazinta ro shika brazinta la mashilo cruzonta ro shira brazin. Rika brazanta la bashiko cromozinta la bashiko cruzinta ro shira. Ike marazinta la bakrazinta ro shika brazinta la. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray. If your area is firm, firm, like you feel your area is in doing with these cameras and film, you come forward. Let me pray for you. Rilas and Telebeshoko Grozon Torbushikam Razinta. Ria Mazanta, we give you glory, Lord, as we are.
We give you glory.
Film, 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 come forward.
As we honor you, you are wonderful. You are worthy of
come also here.
You are wonderful.
You first need to pray for you before you pray.
Lord, we give you glory. You glory, Lord, as we
out a path for you in Jesus' name, and the desire of your heart, one desire of your heart, you know it, shall not be prolonged any longer.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you Heavenly Father, because your faithfulness being rewarded.
Amen.
You have so many questions in your mind, but you have a faithful spirit, the Lord says.
Amen.
Speak in tongues. I'm seeing somebody called Arnold. You know somebody called Arnold or something like that? Ah. In film things and what, you're sure I don't know somebody in like those things of maybe it's in the future, but and a job. Eh? I know you've not been looking in this direction, but just pray in tongues. A breakthrough in that area, in the financial area. Even the desire of your heart has something to do with finance. Eh? In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Receive it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, Rishia Kabrazinta. Okay, you can do your work now. Remozinta la Mashiko Romozonto, Roboshia la Bazanta.
Wonderful. You are worthy, O Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy.
I'm hearing the name Chibuka. Is there anybody called Chibuka? Is there any Chibuka? In the name of Jesus. You're called Chibuka.
He's someone who has been going through a lot, like marriage struggles, and he's been drinking, addicted, but then I saw warn him, like, back to Christ, and
yeah. Okay, first time. Who is he to you?
My former boss.
Only?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey!
Okay. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you... In the name of Jesus... I'm seeing movement. You're moving. Do you work?
No.
I'm seeing movement. Work which will involve you moving a bit.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
And
in the name of Jesus. But it's not in this thing. It's not in this film thing. But it will be a stepping stone to. Yes, what did you study?
Okay, stopped on that.
Okay. Risha Cabrazon Torgo Shira Brazil Torosha Brazita Rabashalam Rick and Dala Siko Brazon Torgo Shira Brazil. Now I'm connecting you to somebody who is going to come and what's your name? And what's your name? Okay. Rika Mazantala Bashiko. I'm connecting you to somebody who is going to give you like some work to do,
yes.
Like it will not start as a job, but it will end up as a job.
Yes,
but
yes.
You'll be sending you here and there somebody of considerable means whom you know right now,
yes.
But so but it will be like a job for you because after some time then you almost more or less become permanent,
yes.
And are doing something for him. Risha Kaprazantarabasho, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. You, how far have you gone with your thing? You should have gone far by now.
Yes, I'm writing scripts. I'm developing those scripts.
Okay.
Yes.
But you've been doing that the whole...
It takes quite some time to...
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You left media work and stuff.
Yeah. But I do writing and I do production.
Production? Of what kind of thing?
Movie.
Movies?
Yes, please.
Have you produced any?
I have done 13 episodes of TV soap.
Of a TV soap?
Yeah. It is 208.
But it's not been run, it's not run yet?
No. Not yet.
Let me give you a breakthrough in that area in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because his ideas find an outlet. Your ideas find an outlet and it is supernatural.
I receive.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And they are well received.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Chibuka, you come. What's wrong with that guy?
He lost his wife, and then he was drinking a lot, doing drugs, then prison. A lot has been going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want me to pray for him?
So Tim actually came to me seeking for like prayer, pray for me, things like that.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, it's called Chibuka who?
Kenneth.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, hold my two hands, hold me the other one. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I free Chibuka.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That dark spirit around him lifts.
Amen.
In the name of
Jesus.
Jesus. And that spirit of depression.
Amen. That's true.
And a lot of self-pity.
True,
a lot
Jesus.
Of self-pity.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. But
Amen.
it's like he's not an easy person because he attracts he loves bad news. Almost like
target.
Yeah? So now his affinity for bad news is very high.
True.
Now I lift that depressive spirit
Amen.
Up over
Thank
him
you,
in the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
Now something positive happens.
Amen.
In
Thank
his
you,
life,
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
And he's turned around
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Now
Amen.
The hand of God goes and touches him.
Amen.
In the name of
Thank
Jesus,
you,
the hand
Lord.
Of God
Thank
goes
you,
and touches
Jesus.
Him. And he has this thing that people betray him, people have
true.
Betrayed him and
yes,
what.
Jesus.
So I remove all that in the name of Jesus. Is that
Amen.
True?
Amen. Very yeah. true.
So I remove it in the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus. So even that feeling of betrayal and everything,
Amen.
I remove it in the name of Jesus. Now,
Thank you, Jesus.
I cover him with a cloud
Amen.
Of faith.
Amen.
A cloud that changes his disposition
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. And
Amen.
Now everything about him changes.
Amen.
Now he wakes up tomorrow and he's
Amen.
Seeing positive things, positive things,
Amen.
Positive things
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, some people want to hide things from us, and we. But then I'm joking. She did it. But why are you people standing? Hey, you want to know the will of God? Eh? Okay, okay. Now tonight, you by this time next week, you'll have a clear commission in the name of Jesus, and it will come for you, come to you one way or the other. Eh? In Jesus' name, say amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because the desire that these people have to do your will. Now, some of you, even the will has something to do with who to marry, because it's the first step towards the bigger thing. Eh? One of you, the first step is towards the bigger thing is who to marry. But in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you give them the desire and the ability to seek out your will and do it. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you release the full knowledge of your will upon them, that they will know, that each and everyone will know with certainty what you have called them, what you have commissioned them to do. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Get your offering. Stop this rain, give us 2 hours to get home. It's not coming, eh?
No.
Okay, the cloud man has said it's not coming. Okay, get your offering, everybody. Let me pray for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name because the people in this place, Father, who connect to this purpose, they shall see purpose, they shall see resources. Whosoever connects shall see resources here to accomplish the will of God in their lives. Now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that let nobody use lack of resources as an excuse, because I release them right now in the name of Jesus. Go and first come. In the name of Jesus, I break every obstacle in your life, in your financial destiny, in the name of Jesus. I render it powerless over you. And now I free you again into a time of miracles. And now, in a matter of weeks, miracles, and everything that has been held back is released, and it comes like a flood in the name of Jesus. Because the time that was wasted is restored. Because he says he restores the years that are wasted. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, because I release that flood upon your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.